Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, after having examined together throughout this novena the most ancient and venerable of the hymns and invocations that Holy Mother Church has composed in honor of the Virgin Mary, Mother of the Savior, we are brought to consider on this feast of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception to the greatest of all the ancient Marian prayers, the Ave Maria, the Hail Mary. Yes, what greater invocation to reflect upon than that which Almighty God himself chose to address to her through the mouth of his messenger, the Archangel Saint Gabriel, to introduce to us she who by her fiat, her yes to the divine invitation, becomes the Mother of God, the willing instrument of the Incarnation, and thus cooperates in the work of redemption of her divine Son Jesus in a truly unique, special, dare I say, irreplaceable way. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. This greeting was joined together with the praise that St. Elizabeth, her cousin, showered upon the Virgin Mary at the moment of the visitation. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And this scriptural prayer was completed under the inspiration and direction of the Holy Ghost when the last part was added during the time of the Black Plague, when the stricken Catholic world cried out as one to their mother and to God's mother, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Venerable Fulton Sheen explains that since it seizes upon the two divisive moments of life, now and at the hour of our death, it suggests the spontaneous outcry of people in great need in a calamity. The Black Death, which ravaged all Europe and wiped out one-third of its population, prompted the faithful to cry out to the Mother of the Lord, to protect them at a time when the present moment and death were almost one. And dear faithful, as the Holy Rosary should be a staple of our daily prayer life, whether we say it in family, individually, of course it is recited faithfully before every Mass here at the Oratory. If you are far away, of course you can say it in your car on the way to Mass to enter into the spirit of prayer. Who better to introduce us to the liturgy, to the sacrifice of her Son than the Virgin? If you are near, you can arrive before Mass in time to pray it. And so in view of all this, let us consider today at least a few aspects, really the first, Hail full of grace, of this most powerful Marian invocation. If we recite a five-decade rosary daily our whole life, as we should, the faithful recitation of the rosary is essentially a cheat code to sanctity, to overcoming sin, to obtaining virtue, and getting to heaven. And if we recite that rosary daily over the course of 70 years, that comes out to about 154,150 Hail Marys. Now, as I've gotten to know you over these past few months, I would say you are above average, both as Catholics and maybe as regards the 53 Hail Marys necessary a day to get to this 1.354 million. In any case, and as we all sadly know, it is easy to get distracted during the recitation of the rosary, saying again and again the same prayer. And so, it is profitable for us from time to time to meditate upon the words that we address again and again to our Blessed Mother, honoring her, invoking her, asking for particular graces, and then thanking her for the graces received. Therefore, let us look at the words of this prayer, particularly the first ones received from the lips of the angel, Hail, full of grace. We read in the Gospel of St. Luke 1:26-30. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel, being come in, said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Who, having heard, was troubled at his saying, and thought with herself, What manner of salutation this should be? And the angel said to her, Fear not, for thou hast found grace with God. Hail, full of grace. In the original Greek, for St. Luke wrote his gospel in Greek, these words are Kyrie kekarotomene, hail, full of grace. Let's look at these words, their etymology, and see what they tell us about the Blessed Virgin. Kyrie is a greeting, a salutation, meaning hail or even rejoice. Not just is it a greeting, this word is often followed by a name, hail, the person being distinguished. In Scripture, this word is often followed by a new name that is given to the one being greeted. And we know that a name change means, in Scripture, a new mission. For example, in the Old Testament, Abram, who becomes Abraham as he is given his calling as the father of the chosen people. In the Hail Mary itself, we insert her name, Hail Mary, the etymology of which means most probably beloved, Hail Beloved. But the Archangel Gabriel does not address her as Mary, but rather this new name that he calls her, Kekarotomene. This is what troubles the Virgin, not just the apparition of the otherworldly spirit, the angel, in his natural and supernatural glory. She wonders, what does this name mean? She who is perfect in humility and does not know herself the greatness of her sanctity. Humility hides personal sanctity from ourselves and allows us to grow closer to God. And as we know, God, who is the light, the great sun, the closer we approach to the sun, the more we see how great the sun is and how little and dark we are. She, the Virgin, is so unaware of herself and her perfection that she is perturbed by praise, even praise from an angel. What then does this new name signify? Why is it out of the ordinary? Kekarotomene means full of grace. And if we break this composed Greek word down, we have these elements. First of all, the word charis. The root of this word means grace. Grace is that which renders pleasing. It can mean elegance of movement, courtesy of manners, and of attitude. In this case, of course, it means that which renders the subject pleasing to God, supernatural, uncreated grace in the soul of the person being addressed, existing in a created manner, of course. Then this word charis is declined, and we have charitu, a Greek verb ending in omicron omega, ou, means to put the person or thing into the state indicated by the root. The root is grace. Charitu means to put in the state of grace. And so we have someone who was put in the state of grace, because ke, the Greek perfect tense prefix, indicates a perfect completed present state as a result of a past action. Thus we have perfected completed present state of charis, grace, as a result of a past action, something that has happened to put the person addressed into a perfect completed state of grace. The suffix mene is a Greek passive participle, and that indicates action performed on a subject by another. Thus, this perfected completed present state of grace as the result of the past action, but the past action of another. As the speaker is the angel Gabriel, the other, of course, is God. And therefore, when we examine this phrase, kare kekaretomene, it means, hail, who have been perfectly and completely graced by God. The common Catholic rendering, full of grace, is correct, but it contains the word so much more. And so the Virgin is addressed as full of grace. What then does it mean for Mary to be full of grace? Well, first of all, there's a negative aspect to this. That is to say, it means the absence of something, the absence of sin. Sin is truly the only real evil in the world, for it is the only thing that can separate us from God. If the angel had appeared to any of us the moment after our existence began, that the moment after our soul was infused into our body and we were given life, and he addressed us, he would have said, "Kyrie, hail, full of sin." That is the common lot of man after the fall. We are all under the yoke and slavery of original sin until our justification and baptism. We are under that yoke of sin due to the choice of Adam. Adam and Eve were created sinless. In the state of grace, by their disobedience, they lost that privilege. Not only Adam for himself, but for all of his descendants. As the new Eve, the virgin, must be sinless. She must be like the old Eve in all things except sin, in all perfections surpassing her. And she must be sinless, not even touched by the slightest taint of sin, in order to be the worthy dwelling place of the Most High, the temple in which the divinity has come to dwell on earth, the Ark of the Covenant, the Theotokos, the Mother of God. In his definition of this dogma, Blessed Pius IX tells us, we declare, or rather he defines for us, we declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instant of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege granted to Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God, and therefore to be firmly believed and constantly by all the faithful. And so not only does full of grace, first of all, mean freedom from sin, original as we have seen, but also personal, as the Council of Trent teaches us so clearly. No justified person, the Council says, can for his whole life avoid all sins, even venial sins, except on the grounds of a special privilege from God, such as the Church holds was given to the Blessed Virgin. Not only does Que caritomene mean full of grace, freedom from sin, it also means the fullness of sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace, the intimate life of the Most Holy Trinity shared in a created way in our souls and rendering us pleasing to Almighty God. For he sees in us his own perfect image, which is objectively pleasing, and there is no selfishness in that. It is objectively good. This sanctifying grace is the whole goal of our life. To receive, protect, and grow in sanctifying grace, everything else we should do should serve this purpose, for without it, we will never be happy. And Mary possessed sanctifying grace from the first instant of her immaculate conception in a fullness and perfection that she was worthy of, she who was to become the Mother of God. And so, had the angel appeared to her the moment after her immaculate conception, he still would have said, "Kyrie, caritomene, hail, full of grace." And yet, this apparition, this coming of our Lord, waited until the moment that God had chosen, the fullness of time. And the Virgin, from the moment of the beginning of her earthly existence, continued to grow in grace. It seems a paradox. How could she be full of grace and yet continue to grow? The image that we must have in our mind is that of a vessel that is always full to the brim, always full to the brim, and always growing. That is the image we have of the Virgin, full of grace, always growing in merit. Lastly, Mary is also full of grace because she participates in its distribution. If we continue the account of the Annunciation, we read, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign in the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." The role of Mary is defined by the role of her son. All of her prerogatives, her privileges, are to make her worthy to be the Mother of God. And as he, Jesus Christ, is not the Savior in order to be her son, he is her son in order to be the Savior. He is the Savior of the world, and Mary's Savior first, yes, for she is the first and greatest fruit of redemption, but also of all those who believe in his name and accept his gift of life, his gift of salvation. Christ gives us life through grace, and he comes to us through Mary. Therefore, Mary is full of grace, not for herself, but for Christ and for us. By the sovereignly free choice of God, Mary acts as a conduit of the graces that come to us, as she was the willing conduit of the Savior, who has won by his merits alone those graces. The glory of Mary is the glory of Christ, who says perfectly and at every instance to his mother, her very name, Mary, beloved. How can the heart of a son refuse anything to a mother so beloved? And so, dear faithful, as we close this novena, and as I encouraged you to at the beginning of the novena, let us boldly ask the Immaculata that she, full of grace, full of every grace, would obtain from her Son whatever blessings and graces we stand in need of now for our salvation. Let us then pray daily our rosaries. Let us say her name in our rosaries and prayers. Let us say each day with greater fervor, greater devotion, greater love, Mary, beloved, spotless, immaculate Virgin, and my Mother, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.